Let us pray. Heavenly Father, God, we thank you for this wonderful day, even though it's a bit hot, cool day is a special blessed day, but even a hot day is something that you bless to rejoice and celebrate. And so, Lord, even for the heat, we thank you, God. And in the midst of this weather, that we can all come out and to fellowship and to spur each other on to our love and good deed and to come before you to worship you this afternoon. And so, Lord, as we proclaim your word, would your Holy Spirit be with us? And Lord, really give us a teachable heart, a willing heart, wanting to hear your word. So upon this time, that we would all leave this place with at least one thought, one word that we receive from you. So would you bless this time? In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay. Last week, actually, I did, you know, I was preaching and I was just kind of sweating. Well, where is this? Isn't the air conditioned on, but it's still kind of sweaty. So, but like I say, thank God for the heat. And thank God for this week. One thing that happened this week was I got to go to my dad's gravesite for the second time. Some of our family members went to on June 31st was the fourth year of my dad's passing, and so actually Jeremy reminded me, isn't tomorrow your dad's passing? Oh, that's right. I was going to go there anyway with a flower the next day, but they said, oh, isn't tomorrow the day of that's your path? Yeah, that's right. So I called my sisters and, okay, well, let's go meet over there. So Jeremy remembered it even before me. But some of the members couldn't come, so they came this week, and my sister called me to meet them there. And so I went up and had a good short service. And then I walked to the side and visited. I normally do that. And there's the gravesite of Charles Kalman and Betty Kalman. You know, the Betty Kalman is the author of Streams in the Desert. Yeah, that's right. So that's pretty famous. So Charles Kalman is the husband who started the Holiness Evangelical Movement in Japan, 1901 and 1906 he started to actually 1906 he started in Japan, and so the evangelical holiness movement started from Japan. He was a telegrapher who met the Lord, recommitted his life to the Lord, and he was just, you know, all excited to preach the gospel. So he went to Japan anyway. So that I was reminded of that, and then this yesterday on Saturday we were talking about Pentecost and how to, or just even reading the article in Pyongyang, revival. And so it all kind of fitted in. And I guess the Lord wanted me to be remembering Charles Kalman and along with the Pyongyang Pentecost revival. So anyway, I'm still doing the series on Jehovah. God, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Nisi, Jehovah Tsiknu, Jehovah Rapha. We talked about Jehovah Rohi last time. The Lord is our shepherd. So we talked about the Lord in that way. And so there's plenty of Jehovahs left. Actually, I thought there was seven names of Jehovah, but then actually I researched and it's there's so many more Jehovah, so I'm not sure when we're going to finish this, but we're going to continue to do this. And I'm going to take breaks in the middle to get to other messages. So we're going to go back to the Jehovah's. But the break that we're having today, I've been meaning to talk about entering through the narrow gate. You know, entering through the narrow gate for a while. Actually, this is a message that God reminded me to do in the past. And I mentioned it in the second decision message, but I didn't focus on this. So today I wanted to focus on a disciple's call to enter through the narrow gate. A disciple's call through to enter through the narrow gate. So this is a disciple's call because upon Jesus saying, come follow me, Jesus said, I will make you fishers of men. He recruited his disciples. And then chapter 5, that was chapter 4. Chapter 5 is the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount. He goes on top of the mountain, and then he sits there and he's giving this beatitude teaching and all kinds of kingdom teaching. So he's doing this to his disciples, plus the rest of the people who are following Jesus. And so definitely not only the beatitude, but the sermon, the whole chapter 5, 6, and 7 is seen, is called as Sermon on the Mount. And it's pretty much a kingdom teaching, kingdom message. Kingdom of God is like this. So as the disciples were called and Jesus was teaching how the disciples were to live, so Jesus is giving them the Sermon on the Mount to teach them how, as you follow me, you're called to live the life of the kingdom. And the kingdom way is pretty different from the earthly ways. Even right before this passage of chapter 7, 13 through 14, we know the golden rule teaching, right? In verse 13 or verse 12, it says, in everything, therefore, treat people the same way you want them to treat you. For this is the law of the prophet. So we know this one, the golden rule, right? Treat others as you would want them to treat you. So this is the kingdom lifestyle. And, you know, previously there's other instructions like if somebody slaps you on the one side, what are you to do? Turn the other cheek. If somebody forces you to go for a mile, what are you to do? Go to the extra mile. That's just unheard of. That's like not fair. Why would somebody force you to go a mile in the first place? But Jesus is saying, not only satisfy what's expected of you or they want you to do. First mile is just, you know, fulfilling what they want. Why don't you go to the second mile to show love? Something, you know, doing voluntarily, but for them, for the Lord as well. So this kingdom message is just countercultural. And this also is countercultural. This kingdom message of two paths, two ways, or two gates. It says here, enter through the narrow gate. One gate is the narrow gate. For the gate is wide, the way is broad that leads to destruction. There's a narrow gate and there's a broad gate. And there are many who enter through it, the broad gate. For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life. And there are few who finds it. So this is a kingdom message Jesus was giving the disciples and all those who were following him. So if we're to say we're a believer and we're a disciple of Christ, this is a message for us. This is a message we need to really understand. And so am I really a disciple of Christ? If I can say I am a disciple of Christ, then you're saying I want to live by this instruction. This kingdom message. Enter through the narrow gate because the broad gate leads to destruction, and for the gate is small, the way of narrow gate leads to life. So we'll talk more about it. But actually, if you look at it from a bigger picture, actually Jesus is the way. Jesus is himself the gate. You know, he's considered as the door to the sheep, right? And here in John 4:6, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So Jesus himself is that gate through whom we need to enter through. But not only that, Jesus also went through the narrow gate himself. This narrow gate lifestyle is a particular way that Jesus walked all the way to the cross, and he's calling his disciple to go through Jesus and also live the way Jesus lived. That's basically what it's saying. You know, and also because Jesus said to her in John 11:25, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? It's mentioning a woman. We know that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And the life referring to not only life on earth, but resurrection life. He is the resurrection and the life. So we can live the resurrection life here if we go through Christ the way Jesus lived. And all the way to eternal life. When it says here, the narrow gate that leads to life is that same life that it's talking about. But just to kind of compare the narrow gate, wide gate and the narrow gate, I just kind of summarized it, summarizing that particular verse. So wide gate is the wide gate. The wide gate is the wide and broad. So it's not small, where, you know, it's hard to go through. Not many people can go through, but it is wide and broad where many people can go through. He says, that's why he says many enter through it, because it's wide, it's easy. So like, let's say we have this like huge door right here to the next room or outside here, you know? And then we have that small door over there. Which way would you rather just kind of walk through? If you have this huge wide door, why walk all the way down to the narrow door and walk through the narrow door? So because it is wide, it kind of communicates is easy. It's easy to walk through the wide door. That's why many, many enter through it. But the narrow gate is narrow and small. Wide gate is wide and broad. The narrow gate is pretty small. And it says few find it. And I think it may be even translated to say few will enter through it. Few finds it and few will enter through it. It's not like that it is hidden. This narrow gate is not hidden. But because people are so into the wide gate, you know, the easy way, they don't even see they can't even find the narrow gate. They're just too busy walking through the wide gate where everybody else is going through, and it is easy to go through. It's a path of least resistance. You know, it's like, what do you rather do? Do you rather run or walk? Walk. Would you rather walk or stand? Rather stand. Would you rather stand or sit? Rather sit. You rather sit or lay down? Lay down. Would you rather lay down or sleep? You know, that's called path of least resistance. Or even like when there's a rock and a stream, you know, the water will flow not over the rock, but it goes to the path of least resistance. So where there's no resistance, where it's easy, there's no obstacle, that's the path where most people, many people, will rather go through. But if there is a small gate, a narrow place, you know, it's harder. It's harder. So easy versus harder. I should put that down. And Matthew 22:14 says, for many are called, but few are chosen. So this is like few finds it. Few find it. Is not because they cannot see it, that it's not there. They choose, they overlook it because they're focused on the wide gate. But the wide gate, broad, wide and broad gate, many enters through it, and it's easy, but it leads to what? destruction. That's what this verse is saying. It leads to destruction. The destruction here particularly means hell. Hell. On the opposite side, the narrow gate and the small gate, narrow and small gate, few will find it, but if you enter through the narrow gate, you will find life. And this is referring to eternal life. So this is like, it's not matter of you are saved and it doesn't matter if you go through the wide gate. But actually, it relates to your salvation. This narrow gate, going through the narrow gate versus the wide gate affects your status, whether you are saved or not. If you go through the wide gate, it says it leads to destruction, to hell. But if you go through the narrow gate, that is the path to life. And because actually the narrow gate is difficult and tests people's hearts, tests people's faith. So actually that narrow gate is the path of being tested to be proven true if you enter through that. Sometimes some people attempt to enter through the narrow gate and they realize, oh, this is not easy. So they quit and they go through the wide gate. You know somebody like that? Demas. Demas loved the world and he left Paul. So he walked through the narrow gate somewhat with Paul, but when the situation got tough and he got arrested, he said, oh, I'm not sure if I want to, I'm not sure if I signed up for this. I want the world. So he left Paul because he loved the world. So this is the initial comparison of what this verse is pretty much describing. But the further, what I wanted to talk about is the more deeper meaning of what it means to go through the narrow gate, or why we enter through the narrow gate. Because the narrow gate is this. Because the narrow gate is this. I'm choosing to focus on the narrow gate, not the wide gate, but I will talk about the wide gate. But narrow gate. Why enter through the narrow gate? Because narrow gate is the way to strive to love Christ and to keep his word. To enter through the narrow gate is to keep his word. What did Jesus say in this other passage that we read in Luke 13:23? Says, someone said to him, Lord, are there just a few who are being saved? It's related to salvation, you know? And he said to them, strive to enter through the narrow gate. That's the command. For many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able to. So Jesus commands, strive to enter through the narrow gate. No matter how difficult, not easy. The wide gate is easy. The narrow gate is more difficult. Apostle Paul entered through the narrow gate. The disciples did. And yet, in order to receive life, eternal life versus eternal destruction, he says, strive to enter through the narrow gate. The word strive here is where the word agonizing comes from, agonizing. So, you know, in Greek, it's something similar to agonizeo or something with a Z-O-S. I didn't write it down here. But there's very clear, you know, the suffix. Is it suffix? Prefix. Suffix in the front, it says agonizeo something, you know. Prefix. For first part is prefix. Later is a suffix. So what it really means, enter through the narrow gate, agonizing. Agonize. Go through the agony of walking through the narrow gate because it's not the easy way. There's plenty of easy way in the world. You know, Jesus is Jesus, but there's many other gods you can go through. And Jesus seeks obedience, but there's many disobedience you can live out. Sometimes disobedience seems more fun. Sometimes sin feels like more fun than obedience. I don't know. Depends on where your heart is. But it says here, the narrow gate is difficult, and it could be agonizing. But agonize through, strive to enter through the narrow gate. Because the result of that, test your faith, test your heart, leads to eternal life. So, you know, we think that accepting Jesus and we're saved is a pretty simple thing. And yes, if we hear the word of God and God gives us faith and we accept it to believe it, we are saved. But that faith, that acceptance will be tested. God gives you the faith, but my acceptance of that faith will be tested to see whether I will still believe, I will still accept through different testing through the narrow gate. Does that make sense? Now, since you became a believer, has your faith been tested? Do I still want to follow Jesus in spite of this? Do I still want to believe in spite of needing to surrender this? Wait a minute, nobody else does it. And even among the Christians, they tend to go to the wide gate rather than the narrow gate. I feel like, oh, am I being foolish to walk through the narrow gate and lose out? Hey, man, I kind of, if according to the world, I didn't use my degree, so I guess I lost out. You know, lost out maybe 3 to 4 million, not billion. I don't think I could win, earn $1 billion, but not even $1 billion, maybe $3 to $4 million if I got paid well, you know, and I didn't eat, you know. So I didn't get married either. You know, it's okay if I don't know what I'm missing out. You guys can have a great time, but I don't know what I'm missing out. So, but, you know, that's it. If that's the way the Lord's led my life, that's the narrow way. But if I, so in spite of this, God, I still want to believe. And if I continue to follow, you know, especially all the way to my death, hopefully God, by God's grace, I would pass the test. You know, that's just kind of, you know, defining more clearly my faith is hopefully more genuine, you know. But it says here, I tell you, many will seek to enter and will not be able to. Many are seeking, but yet not able to. In the front, it says they cannot even find it. Because their eye is so much on the wide road and the pleasures of life or the easy things of life. They can't even, they don't even kind of see it. But you know, some actually seek it. They do want to enter through the narrow road, but they're not able to. So it's not they can't. They're not able to because they're holding on to the wide road. You guys know the story of the foolish monkey, how the monkey hunters carry a jar and some rope and some peanuts that the monkeys like. They go to this tree that has lots of monkeys and they go there and, you know, the hunter comes, of course, the monkeys are, you know, on top of the tree. He ties a rope around the jar really tightly. And then he puts peanuts inside. Oh, you know, monkey smell. Wow, delicious. And so they, once the hunter moves out, you know, the monkeys come down and she says, oh, there's something, the smell's coming from in there. And so they try to, you know, monkey hand, you know, here's a jar. You know, they can't do it. So they finally figure out, oh, if I squeeze my fingers, you know, so he squeezed the finger into the jar. Wow, more room. Ah, grabs the nut. And then he wants to pull it out, but then with the fist, he can't pull it out through the jar, you see? So that's the time the monkey hunter comes. you know, before they figure it out. but the thing is, Monkey wants to run away, but what's happening here? He grabbed the nuts that he likes, but he's not thinking of letting go of the nuts. He wants to go run away with the nuts. So eventually he gets caught by the hunter. And I don't know what he becomes. Maybe a dish in somebody's restaurant. but the thing is, basically dies, you know? Or, you know, that is communicating. Basically, we are many times like monkeys. We like the things in the wide gate. We grab onto the earthly things. Oh, I tasted this before. I like it. And I'm grabbing onto it. But then I want eternal life too. I want everything with Christian things. I like it too. But, you know, even if they want to, but they love the world so much that they're not thinking of letting go and entering through the narrow gate. So there's a striving to love Christ. Of course, we know about these passages. And Jesus answered and said, anyone loves me will keep my word. So to keep Jesus' command to strive to enter the narrow gate, strive to enter to obey and keep that command is to love Jesus. So narrow gate is a path to love Christ and to keep his word, because keeping his word leads to life. Does that make sense? Secondly, because the narrow gate is the way of life and salvation, not hardening our hearts toward destruction. So this is again Matthew chapter 7. It's a little bit later, passage 21 through 23. Let's have Jack, why don't you read that for us? Matthew 21. It's up there on top, I think.
Is it?
No. Yeah. Yep, the first one.
Matthew 7,
right? 21 through 23.
Matthew 7:21.
Yeah, that's
okay.
Right. Go
ahead. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.
So I've always kind of wondered here, wow, they said they performed many miracles and they prophesied in his name. Whoa, that seems pretty, you know what prophesying is? It's like what I'm doing right now. I'm proclaiming the word of God, being a prophet. Whatever God said, I'm passing it on to you is prophecy work, you know, proclaiming God's word. And even perform many miracles. Wow, powerful. Miracles have happened. And yet it says, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. So it may be this person may have done some, you know, preaching work, maybe pray in the name of Jesus and demons were cast, because there were some Jewish people who were praying in the name of Jesus and they submitted to the name of Jesus. But then one time they clobbered them. but so they've done some work of God, but then they practice lawlessness, means in their life, maybe outside, that's what was done. In their life, there was lawlessness. They were not submitted to doing the will of God. Everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will not enter the kingdom, but he who does the will of my Father, who is to enter heaven. So Lord, Lord, outward saying of Lord, even prophecy outside work, even miracle, you pray in the name of Jesus, and you could even possibly heal some people. That external work is not what God looks at than more of an internal life of doing God's will. To do it out of obeying God. Can we be doing a lot of spiritual things outwardly and yet inwardly we're not obedient? We who done ministry knows that, right? We can do things without obeying God in the heart, right? So God is looking for practicing righteousness internally in the heart, doing the will of God. And the next verse says in Hebrews 4:7 and 4:11, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. So God seems to be speaking to us in our hearts, things that we are to obey. You could do a lot of other spiritual things. Other people might think you're doing a lot of spiritual things, but really in your heart, what is God calling you to do? If you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. Next, verse 11 says, therefore, let us be diligent to enter the rest. Enter the rest is really salvation rest. So that no one will fall through following the same example of disobedience. So this is talking about the Jewish people. God is speaking to them, but they hardened their heart. They were being disobedient to God. So it's the same thing. What God is looking for, it's not just external lip service or life service, but more internal obedience of the heart. And I think we all know what God could be speaking in various areas of my life. Recently, I was sharing to my guys as I was sharing this after the Bible study, I said, I think God wants me to be more respectful to my sister. We kind of bag on each other all the time. I don't think I give her enough respect. So we kind of grew up like that. So she's 2 years older than me, so I need to, you know, give her some respect. But when I don't give her respect, I do feel kind of uncomfortable in my heart. So I know I need to repent and correct myself. But this is a small area, you know. I've been repenting for all kinds of stuff, in doing ministry, checking my driving forces. Why would I do this? So, but all of that is internal. What God is wanting is more of internal obedience, not just external deeds, right? So the narrow gate is not hardening our hearts when God is speaking to us deeply within. And not just saying, Lord, Lord, but doing the will of God from the heart in the very areas he is calling us to obey. In some ways, wide road could be the external things that we do, what other people see. But the narrow gate would be the real thing God wants me to obey. And again, like the monkey, if I don't want to, because I just want to be this way, or I just want to do this, there's a kind of a stubbornness, hardness of heart that keeps us from going to that narrow gate of doing the will of God. Doing God's will before... versus my will or the will of people in the world, which one's easier? Doing the will of God? Well, if doing the will of God is easier, then you're in a good spiritual condition. You're in a good spiritual condition if doing the will of God is what you're more excited about. But typically, our hearts are stolen by the various things, and so it's harder to do the will of God. My heart is, somewhere else. So that's what narrow gate is about in the way of life and salvation as we obey with the heart God's will. But if we harden our heart and keep on going away, then that could jeopardize our life and salvation. Thirdly, the narrow gate has to do with the way to follow and serve Christ. The path to following Jesus in the way he's going and serving Christ along the way. But there's a cost to it. There's a cost to it. Denying myself, carrying my cross daily, and losing my life so I could save it. So this is the narrow gate because nobody wants to deny ourselves. Nobody wants to carry a cross that's like Jesus's cross-like. You know, it's painful. There's a sacrifice. Nobody want to do that. Losing my life. Nobody want to lose their life. I want to save my life, make my future, make all the money. But then God comes along and says, yo, you foolish person. Don't you know your life is expected of you tomorrow? You could pile your wealth in the barn. But you're being foolish because your life, you don't know when your life is expected of you. Luke, okay, Conrad, you can read Luke 9:23-25.
And he was saying to them all, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake, he is the one who will save it. For what is a man profited if he gains the whole world, loses or forfeits himself?
This is one of Jesus' tough teaching, right? Tough because it's tough to obey. But if we are disciples of Christ, we are called to this narrow. This is the narrow gate right here, description. Narrow gate. What is the narrow gate? Wide gate, you don't have to deny yourself. You could indulge yourself. There's no cross. Everything is easy. Well, everything is not easy, but we're trying to make it easy for ourselves. You know, we try to save our lives, acquire our wealth and our security and our whatever so that I could secure myself. I don't have to trust God. We're busy trying to be like, you could be self-sufficient, you know. But in the process of doing that without God, you could lose your life. Read the next verse too there, Conrad.
Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. He who loves his life loses it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it to eternal life. If anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him.
So, it's a similar passage, but it makes falling to the ground and dying more specific. Denying yourself and dying to self. And then also losing your life. If you hate your life, that is the path of narrow gate. Hating your life. Hating your earthly kingdom. We all want to create our earthly kingdom, live here forever and be affluent and secure or whatnot. But it's a call to hate your security in this earthly kingdom so you can save your life. If you love your life on earth, then you will lose it. But it also says that if anyone serves me and he must follow me. Yeah, if you want to serve Christ, we have to follow him. Where I am, there my servant will be. So wherever he goes, we need to go. So that's why my desire in our ministry is whether you stay in the ministry or leave the ministry and go somewhere else, I want to make sure, is it God? Is Jesus going there? Are you following Jesus there? Or is Jesus here? Are you staying here because Jesus is here? He wants you to be here. So I'm not so much concerned whether you're in the ministry or out of the ministry. I just want to know what God, Jesus is leading you to. Because in the center of where Jesus is leading you to, that's where the life, not only eternal life is a path of obedience, but even our life in this earth will be abundant when we're in the center of his will. And when we follow him and serve him, anyone who serves me, my Father will honor him. Oh, that's a great promise. If we follow Jesus and serve him, denying myself, carrying the cross, and losing my life, there's a promise the Father will honor me. Honor me. I'm not sure. I'm not sure if the Lord will. I'm not looking for necessarily so much earthly honoring as God's acknowledgement of my life. But I've been trying to serve the Lord for somewhat my life. So I trust that he will honor me in this life as well. He honors me in heaven, but then he, you know, but when we follow Jesus and serve him, granted that I would say I'm not perfect in serving him in the perfect way. But when we do follow him and serve him perfectly, the best we can, the promise is the Father will honor you. Are we looking for honors of people, people recognizing me? To acknowledge me, what I'm doing is okay? Am I looking to people to affirm what I'm doing is okay? Or am I looking to God, the Father, to affirm me that what I'm doing is okay? Well, this promise right here, when we follow Jesus and serve him, God the Father will honor. So the narrow gate is the path to following and serving Jesus. So you will be honored by God. Not by the world, by God the Father. The wide gate is following the world, right? That comes along, it'll be later. Serving not Christ, serving yourself, serving other people, but definitely not serving Christ. There's no honor. God's affirmation there. But you know, this way of following Jesus, serving Jesus, is not easy. It's tough. You got to deny yourself. You got to carry some cross. You got to lose your life. So I went through some of that myself. I had to surrender a ministry in the East Coast because God wanted me to surrender it. So, but once you learn how to surrender, it's easier the second time. If you learn how to surrender something big, it's easier the second time. So it's just the first time it's hard to like surrender. But you have to let go. And if you are okay with letting go, which I had to let go of the East Coast ministry once I was okay. It was like, you know what I felt like? I felt like I was breaking up with a girlfriend. Four girlfriends and also Irvine. Irvine was more of breaking up with a girlfriend because I went down there 2 days a week for like a couple of years, like raising up a ministry. And so I really love the people in Irvine. I love the people in this coast. But when I was surrendering, oh my goodness, I felt like I was breaking up. And I'm not sure. I haven't broken up with a girlfriend. I don't know what that feels like, but I broke up with a ministry. And boy, that was tough. That was tough. But once I went through it, then I said, you know, I could give up some more ministry. What else, other ministry should I give up? Even now, if I say, I'll give up, you know, what ministry in China, you know, I had to kind of give up a ministry at a certain point, previous first generation. So when you have to do it, it's easier when you've done it before. So there's a cost to following and serving Jesus, because it's the narrow gate of denying, carrying the cross, losing your life. Fourthly, because the narrow gate is a highway of holiness, not of unclean or of fools. Okay, let's see. Jesse, you can read Isaiah 35 up there.
A highway will be there, a roadway, and it will be called the highway of holiness. The unclean will not travel on it, but it will be for him who walks that way, and fools will not wander on it.
Okay, well, let's see. Ryrie and John MacArthur would say, this is a millennial kingdom passage. They always kind of differentiate like a present day passage or a millennial kingdom when Jesus comes for 1,000 years. But I believe this is to be true even now. This might define me as perhaps, rather than premillennial, maybe perhaps amillennial. But I'm a mixture of all that, so nobody could pin me on that. So, but the ones who ride on this highway of holiness is of somebody who is holy. Now, anybody who is in Jesus Christ has imputed righteousness. We talked about that. So only who received the imputed righteousness, who truly believed and who belongs to Christ, will ride on this highway of holiness. Unclean and fools cannot ride on it. So it speaks to the imputed righteousness, but also those who will, you know, agonize to live the holy life, right? But those who will not enter the kingdom of God, who will not ride in the highway of holiness, is the next one. Okay, Juan, you can read that one. Can you see it? Is it too far?
Oh, yeah, I can see it. Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor adulterers, nor adulterers, nor effeminate? No, I don't know what that is. Nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor the covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers inherit the kingdom of God. Such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God. 1 Corinthians 6:9-11.
So what is it saying in this passage? People who are given to this lifestyle, can they enter the kingdom of God? If they are stubbornly going this path without repentance all the way to their death, then they cannot enter the kingdom of God. If they can at some point be convicted and they repent and turn back to God from the wide road to the narrow road, perhaps they can, but it won't be easy. It's hard for people given to these things to turn away from it, come back. It's a minority of the people, right? But then again, there's only few are chosen. Oh, by the way, Ephemus is that the, like, effeminate? Is that the girl version of, what is it? Feminine? That's not, what is it? Oh, okay. Feminine feature. Okay, is that kind of like the, what do you call it?
It's
the
like feminine spirit thing.
Feminine spirit thing. Oh, okay. As a guy. There's the other side too, as a girl wanting to be like guyish, you know? So it's pretty clear in the scripture about homosexuals, right? If they persistently choose to go that path of their least resistance, I say this only because you are my church, is homosexuals, Ephemist, and all this is actually immorality, sensuality, and what do you call when people get out of hand with these things? Just indulgence in immorality will invite the enemy spirit. When you are a normal person, if you keep on giving yourself to morality, all kinds of different spirits start coming in. And the spirit of homosexuality, effeminacy, are some of those. Those things come in because a person is indulgent of immorality. So actually, why these things are arising much more these days, by the way, God loves them. God, Jesus died for them. We want to love the people, but I'm talking about the sin. Where does it come from? It's come from indulging uncontrollable sensuality, sexuality, immorality. It becomes an open door for the enemy spirit of homosexuality, spirit of how do you say it?
Effeminate.
And other things, you know, idolatry, love of money, adultery, fornication, all these things come from overindulgence of sexual things. So those are the wide world things. When you turn on television or the movie, most movie, you know, even PG, there's kind of a, you know, insinuation. Are definitely obvious. You know, there's the whole world is wide road of indulging sensuality, sexuality, and that is distracting God's people from the road of highway of holiness, which is the narrow gate. Do you see why it's the narrow gate? We're so bombarded by it to stay pure and holy, denying internet pornography and all these things is kind of tough, but it's a narrow gate. You wonder why Pastor Ming gets on your case all the time if you struggle with any of these. Well, we want to help the body of Christ to be holy, and this is a tough thing. But we need to walk this narrow gate of, you know, spurring each other on to our holiness, but also being accountable to be protected. You know, guys have one of those programs. What is it called? A covenant eyes. Well, even to get a covenant eyes is a advancement. You know, if a person, I don't want covenant. I don't want people to check me. To even get one and say, okay, I want to be checked by Pastor Min. You know, for the longest time, people would get it, but they never put my name on it. but we welcome this so that we can help each other to be protected from this wide road distraction of immorality. And we definitely love people who are in the world, but we definitely want to be protected to stay in the narrow. You know, in Matthew 22:14, it says, many are called, few are chosen. You know what's the context is, master invites people to a party. And some come without proper clothing, dirty clothes. And so this person is what? They are cast out. Many are invited to the Jesus's banquet table. But if you are wearing dirty clothing that's not cleansed by the blood of Christ, and also with the righteousness of saints, you know, the ones who make it to the banquet table are those people who are of genuine faith, who receives the white clothing of the righteous deeds of the saints. You see, so because he didn't have a proper clothing, he was cast out. So that relates to holy living, you know, avoiding this wide gate, the world's tendency. So it could be all kinds of different scenarios. You could start out well, then fall into this world, and then hopefully you come back. But you know what? You don't want to fall back into the world too often, because more you fall into the world, more often it's harder to come back, because you start tasting and loving the deep things of Satan, in the book of Revelation says. When you just start loving the deep things of Satan, it just gets harder. But if you stay close to the body of Christ, you can be protected, and we can together, you know, agonize to enter through the narrow gate. Amen? Lastly, because the narrow gate is the way to love the Father. We love Jesus. Well, we could love the Father. You know, we know the verse, right? 1 John 2:15 and 16. Albert, can you read it? Can you see it?
Oh, boy, you memorized.
Not love the world, nor the things in the world.
Yeah, this is not NIV, so you can read it.
If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world.
So we want to be those who love the Father. We want to be those who have the love of the Father, right? But if our in our heart, our love is for the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and boastful pride of life, which is the wide gate? What is the wide gate? The gate that promotes pride, lust of the eyes, lust of the world. So, you know, I needed to deny myself of the electronic lust. You know, even though I like fixing things, I went overboard at times. And I said, lust of electronics. And so I stopped eBay purchase since last year, some early last year. And Goodwill, only sparsely. I do need to go find my mom's diapers. That's where it's they sell it and it's cheap. You know, 20 diapers for $3.99. One time there were tons of, I just grabbed all of it. I bought it, so it lasted until this long. So anyway, I go there once in a while, but I just stopped eBay a long time ago. But it's partly, it becomes a soul satisfaction. You know, it's kind of fun to buy these things and fix it and even sell it sometimes. But, you know, these things can draw your lust of the eyes, lust of the eyes. And so, and the lust of the flesh. These are the wide road. So we need to be careful, protect ourselves from sidetracking. So I gave my life to this service, serving the Lord. I want to finish well, so I don't want the eBay to distract me now. So small things like that could do it. We need to be careful. But you know, if we don't guard ourselves from the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life, if we go through the wide gate, there's no love of the Father in us. Love of the Father is to deny those things, Trinity of Satan's, you know, promotion. And Satan loves to promote the wide gate, by the way. Satan promotes the wide gate and it's the easy way, but he would, you know, resist us if we try to go the love of the Father way, the narrow gate. But, you know, talking about one of the, you know, Paul's instruction to Timothy. I command you, Timothy 1:18, this command I entrust to you, Timothy, my son, in accordance with prophecy previous made concerning you, that by them you fight the good fight. Fight the good fight. Keeping faith and good conscience, which some have rejected, suffer shipwrecked in regard to their faith. If we don't keep our faith and my conscience, if I don't keep my conscience, be sensitive to it so that it doesn't become numb because I enjoyed the world too much. If you indulge the world, then suddenly that conscience could get corroded, become numb to it. So when I was in the peak of buying a lot from eBay, my senses kind of became numb. But then I said, oh, this is not good. This is bad. So I had to deny it. So if you don't keep your faith and conscience, what is the result? It says you can suffer a shipwreck in regard to your faith. Have you heard of this? Shipwrecking your faith. You've been growing well in the Lord, but because you somehow gave yourself to compromising your conscience or your faith becomes like you lose kind of connection to your faith. Your faith doesn't feel like really is yours. And it's hard to recover that faith. So if you start taking steps of disobedience and compromising and loving the world, loving the lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, the pride of life, you compromise your conscience and your faith by indulging that one disobedience to Christ, but indulgence to the world. That is the path of shipwrecking your faith and how we never get to that place because it's so much, even though you're saved, I don't know whether you're saved. That could be a question too. But if you are saved and you are shipwrecking your faith, it's really difficult to get out of it. So that's why, another reason why, as a church, we need to help support each other so that our brothers and sisters don't go sliding off. Kind of like, another word for this is backsliding. The old time word was, when you compromise and your faith start getting wrecked, the way they describe it was like backsliding. Not going climbing up in faith, but they're backsliding from faith. We need to guard ourselves, but guard others from falling into that. Does that make sense? And so this walking, going, or entering through the narrow gate is not an individual thing. It's a corporate thing. We are to do it together. We can never fight the enemy by ourselves. Two are better than one, right? But when we are strong together, we can be strong alone. But if we are attempting to be strong alone without together, it's a losing battle. So we are called to enter the narrow gate. It's more difficult, but it's the path to life. We need to avoid the wide, broad gate, which is easier. Indulging the pleasures of life. But we tasting and being enticed by the world, we could become like the monkey. We're holding on to the sweet things of the world, and we also want to go, you know, be blessed with eternal life, but because we're not letting it go, it could cause us to be destroyed, destructed. So may that, God forbid. And so I hope this was just a help to better understand what it means to go through the narrow gate and what we need to strive for, you know, agonize for. But then again, we need to agonize together as a church, as a body. Amen? Okay, let's pray. Father, we thank you, God, for your word. Thank you for this kingdom message of how we are to go through the path that you went through, Jesus, the narrow gate, and how we are to avoid the wide gate, broad gate, where it leads to destruction, even backsliding, perhaps even shipwrecking our faith. God forbid, may you protect us from that and help our church to be, Lord, loving each other so that we can help each other prevent the path of destruction, but to enter together in the path of life. So we thank you, God. Bless us all. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.